are back in the bus, baby! All he can see is white light, and that rim is as big as a manhole cover right now. He's having an out-of-body experience.
Good golly, Miss Foley. We are on a magic carpet ride with Ray Allen at the control.
They're getting down, getting dirty, they're getting wicked.
Sonic Nation Worldwide, thank you for downloading another episode of the Magic Carpet Ride, a Seattle Supersonics podcast and the official podcast of SB Nation's newest site, SonicsRising.com. I again am Joel Ashby, and I'm extremely excited to be with you again. I want to start off the show acknowledging a couple people. Thank you, first off, for all the comments, email, and stuff like that I've been getting from you guys. Listen, you love the music. I can't take any credit for that. I gotta give all credit to Steve Stearns, a writer on SonicsRising.com. You can check out his stuff at SoundCloud.com/XTEVE. Check him out. He's awesome. He's gonna keep pumping out the juice for us, the hits for us, as we throw down some more episodes as we go on. Secondly, I want to give a quick shout out to all those around the world that are listening to us. Not just in Seattle and Washington, but hey, there's Sonics fans all over the globe. And hopefully this podcast is going to get out to you guys. I want to acknowledge Sam Watson out of Melbourne, Australia, longtime Sonics fan. He was excited. He sent me an email just saying that he's juiced for the podcast. And so, hey Sam, this one's for you, baby. This episode is dedicated to Sam Watson. Hope you enjoy it. Listen, if you're out there and you're listening to this podcast from somewhere outside of Seattle or Washington State, hit me up. I want to check my peeps all over the world, Sonic Nation Worldwide. It's what it's all about. Listen, if you're anything like me, you're checking your Twitter every 30 seconds for King's sale updates from Chris Daniels or Brian Robinson, who, by the way, did an awesome job on the radio last week representing Brian Robinson. He's the man. He's the guy behind SonicsRising.com. Man, we got to give him all the respect he deserves for everything he's done for us Sonics fans and to keeping us jacked for bringing the team back. If you're anything like me, you're getting really tired of it. So, I figure this podcast has to do something a little bit different. We're going to leave the King sales to the pros, to the guys who know about that kind of stuff. I just know basketball, so I'm going to talk basketball. I'm going to bring guys on that know about basketball. And specifically, when we do get our team, cross your fingers, it's going to happen. The first thing that we're going to be looking forward to, ladies and gentlemen, the 2013 NBA Draft. So, here's my promise to you. I'm going to get you ready. I'm going to bring in professionals who have followed college ball. I'm going to bring in the guys who study these prospects over a whole year, and we're going to interview them. We're going to get ourselves ready for whoever we might draft in the first draft of the new Seattle Supersonics. So why don't we start with the guy that seems to be SonicsRising.com's favorite draft pick so far, Trey Burke. I went out and found a guy that has covered the Michigan Wolverines throughout the year, so why don't we get him on the show? I got Zach Travis on the line from MazeandBrew.com, the site manager of the SB Nation site dedicated to the Michigan Wolverines. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Fantastic. So yeah, we're basically just kind of want to get an idea of some of the prospects that are coming out of college heading into the NBA. And specifically, I'm excited to talk about the Michigan guys for two reasons. Number one, I kind of adopted Michigan is my team, my college team this year. I'm from Canada, so I kind of just pick and choose. And this year was Michigan, also because of Nick Stauskas.
Yeah, Stauskas he's been a fun one to watch, and he's a little under the radar coming out of high school, but he's had a good year. And yeah, you definitely picked a good team for this year's tournament. They really, everything kind of came together for that run. before the season, I made a few comments about how I thought this could be a really good year, but it would be dependent on this and that, and I listed a bunch of things, and lo and behold, by the time the tournament comes around, pretty much everything went right, and they put together a really impressive run. So it was definitely fun for us. Nice to cover that, be writing about basketball in April.
Yeah, and everything just fell into place, eh? Like from Mitch McGarry stepping up and I don't know, all of a sudden dominating, and then you know, obviously Trey Burke, but even Stauskas got hot a couple games here. But let's walk through a little bit. Obviously the big guy is Trey Burke, probably going to be drafted the highest of the Michigan guys. So tell me a little bit about Trey Burke's game.
Burke is just, I mean, he's just a really dangerous player all over the court. He's not as much a traditional point guard as he is kind of a combo guard. I mean, he can pass the ball really well, and that's one of the aspects of his game that got better this year. He did a lot better with pick and rolls and just the way he ran the offense and distributed the ball. He was always a capable passer, but this year kind of took it to the next level. It also helped that he had a lot of weapons to deal with, and that Michigan played a lot more in transition than they have in the past. And with this group of guys, when they got out and ran, it was really something to watch. And you can kind of see that against, especially in the tournament against Florida, the way they pushed the tempo against ECU. With Burke running the break, it's really deadly, and it's because he's got so many things going for him. The one thing I tend to go to first is quickness, because you don't see that as much from most players. I mean, you see quickness, but that's kind of his skill, the way he can get around people, and not just quick moves, but the understanding of setting people up. He's really good with the crossover. I mean, he can freeze defenders really quickly, and if he gets even the little bit of a corner on the screen, he can get around and get into the more talented basketball player. The big weaknesses, I think, are that sometimes he has a tendency to go a little bit cold. And when he does, he oftentimes tries to force it in a way that isn't really going to help the offense very much. He'll get into these things where he'll just tend to shoot a little bit too much from outside, try to do his little crossover, pull up three in people's faces. And, I mean, to an extent, you want to let him do that because so much of the good things that he does comes from him being the man and him kind of taking control of the game like that. But it is a little frustrating to watch sometimes.
Would you define him as a score-first point guard? Like, is that fair to label him that?
I think it is. I think that his passing skills are really, I mean, he's a really good passer, but I think his mentality is he wants to score the ball as well, and it's going to be a big part of his game. And when you watched him play for Michigan all year, the passing was great, but a lot of times when the end of the game came and Michigan needed a bucket, he was the one who was getting the ball. And I think that ultimately defines kind of his mentality. At the end of the day, he's the scorer. He's the guy who's going to take the shot. But he is going to be able to pass the ball, be able to distribute to everybody else, and handle that aspect of it. But I think it's fair to call him a scorer, and I think he's obviously very good at it, and it's been very good for Michigan.
Talk a little bit about his defense.
Defense, he's pretty solid. That's, I think, my biggest worry, seeing him going into the NBA, is his quickness is good, and he had this habit towards the end of the year where he was getting really good at picking people's pockets. He pulled that out against Michigan State in the game that Michigan won at home, and he actually sealed the game with two steals in the final minute. The first one, he just took the ball from Keith Appling, poked it out the other side, took it in for a layup to give Michigan the lead, and then he ended up getting the steal to close the game, too, and deny Michigan State the final shot. But he's good with stuff like that. I worry a little bit that his quickness and his size won't be able to overcome some of the bigger point guards he's going to have to face. I think if you get kind of a solid defensive effort out of him, it's going to be a win. But I don't think he's going to be a real game changer in that, just because physically he isn't going to be able to do it for 48 minutes. Yeah, I mean, defense is probably the bigger concern out of everything. But he's quick enough and he's instinctual enough where I think he's going to make up for any of the little lapses with a few pretty nice plays here and there.
Yeah, I think most, I don't know any college player that can really come into the NBA and all of a sudden be a defensive stud, at least not very many, right in their rookie year. Talk a little bit about, in the locker room, what's his leadership abilities there?
By all accounts, he's been a phenomenal leader for the team, and even last year as a freshman, you could see it early on. He kind of took control both of the offense and just the general makeup of the team. I mean, he also had guys like Zach Novak, Drew Douglas there, who were really big, but you could tell, kind of watching him on the court, you can see that he takes that leadership role and that he's the alpha dog on the court, and so I think that's going to be a positive thing in the future. He's definitely driven, focused, and kind of the guy who's going to be serious about it. And I mean, he worked well as a leader for Michigan, and they're definitely going to miss his kind of take charge attitude.
In regards to him as a person or a professional, are there any red flags that you've seen in your time watching him?
Not really. I mean, he's been, by all accounts, a pretty good student. Kind of kid who just works and works and works all the time on basketball. Really driven. There haven't been any rumors, or I haven't heard anything bad about him, even from any of the normal places that you kind of hear rumors and stuff about college kids. But he seems like a pretty well-adjusted, smart kid, good kid. He's obviously driven, wants to make the league, wants to do this for a long time. So I don't see any of the red flags there. And even in his game, I mean, the only thing, maybe sometimes he gets a little hot-headed.
Okay.
He's had a couple problems with that.
I like that, though. I prefer that.
It ends up being a positive. But there was only a couple times where he really took it too far and picked up a cheap foul that was stupid and he shouldn't have done.
Right.
But for the most part, he keeps that pretty well in check. He knows how to keep his emotions.
So refresh us now. Let's get into some of the other guys on the roster. Refresh us. Who's coming back and who's declaring for the NBA?
Well, so far it's been Burke has declared and Tim Hardaway Jr. has declared. And those two seem to be the only two that will be gone to the NBA. Michigan had a few seniors on the team, but they were all reserve players. Guys didn't see too much time. So
you probably are happy, which I would totally understand, that a guy like Mitch McGarry or Glenn Robinson III would come back. Mitch McGarry, though, it seems like he caught fire right at the right time, was projected to maybe go late lottery. In your opinion, is it going to hurt his career if he comes back another year?
I think it has the potential to hurt his draft status. It's going to be tough for him to recapture the magic of that postseason run, because really the games that he played over the course of those 3 weeks, I mean, he couldn't have done any better than what he did.
Was he playing out of his mind? Like, can he repeat that kind of dominance in over a whole year college ball?
I think he can. The big thing why he came on the way he did towards the end of the year was that he was finally getting the chance to play into himself, and kind of he had to I'm blanking here. Physically, he had some injury problems early on in the year, so he wasn't really conditioned as well as he should have been. So as the year went on, he kind of played himself into shape, and he dealt with a few of his issues, things like the stupid fouls. He was doing a lot better, playing defense in the post, not coming over, and tacking on people too bad on drives. And once he could stay on the court because of foul trouble, and once he was getting rid of some of those defensive lapses, Michigan could start playing him more. But you saw glimpses of these things all year. I mean, the rebounding, he was rebounding at this rate the whole time. It's just his minutes were so low that the only way it ever showed up is when you were looking at the KenPom stat, and you'd see his OR and ER percentages. And they were just through the roof. But it was a matter of keeping on the court and putting in the time and actually playing 30, 35 minutes a game. And I think coming back next year, he has the capability to do it. He has the skill set. He's easily the most talented offensive big man Michigan has. And he's flashed pretty much everything you want from a post player, with the exception of really those just pure post moves where you feed it to him on the block. He hasn't done too much of that. But Michigan doesn't run a lot of that as well. So.
Right.
The big things, I mean, he can do the pick and roll. He's great moving to the basket. He's agile enough that he can get around people. He's got the pull-up jumper where he can hit it from 15 feet pretty regularly, which you saw, which was really nice in the Syracuse game. And that Syracuse game showed a lot of the passing skills that he's really kind of hinted at through the year.
I mean,
he's a great outlet passer, which has been really big for Michigan pushing the ball.
Sorry, let's talk a little bit about Tim Hardaway Jr. He's projected to go somewhere in the second round, about mid-second round, I guess. What position do you see him playing in the pros?
I think he'll be a shooting guard. Tim Hardaway Jr. he's a good player. I think the second round is a good projection for him. He's just too inconsistent. He's got the offensive skills. Defensively, he's pretty solid. He's been improving a little bit over the course of his career. But he's just too hot or cold to really rely on all the time. And Michigan fans will tell you that from having watched him for 3 years.
Is there anything he can do really well? Like when you come into the pros, you either want to be a superstar but if you're going to be on the bench, you have to be a specialist, something you do better than almost anybody else. Does he have anything like that?
I don't think so. And that's why I'm not too high on his long-term pro potential, because he's a very good scorer. I mean, he can shoot the ball well from outside. He can get into the lane. His problem is he's not elite at any of those skills, and he's too inconsistent at all of them. So he'll have games where he'll go 1-for-8 from three, and then he'll have other games where he'll hit 4 out of 5 shots from deep. And, I mean, he's improved in things like passing the ball, rebounding, but he doesn't have that one skill that I think he can bank on in the league. And ultimately, I think that's going to be what keeps him from finding any long-term success.
All right.
Although if he can deal with his consistency issues and score like he's capable of and score like he's shown, that would probably help him out a lot, and I could see him ending up in somebody's rotation if he's doing that. But
all right.
He's never flashed that at Michigan, so it's hard to see him all of a sudden see that light going on for him.
So let's talk a little bit about the other guys in the Big Ten that you would have seen quite a few times. Why don't we start with the Indiana guys that are declaring for the draft here?
I like Oladipo a lot. I'm not quite as sold on Zeller, and I think that's kind of like the worst case scenario for McGarry. When you saw a guy like Zeller, he was really highly thought of last year, decided to come back for another year, and didn't look quite as dominant, and I think it's going to hurt his draft stock a little bit. I think that's kind of what you worry about with McGarry. But, I mean, he's a capable player down low. He's a pretty solid guy. I just don't see him being anything other than just kind of like a maybe 10-12.8 rebound guy in the league. I don't see him being a cornerstone center.
Kind of like a Tyler Hansbrough type guy.
Kind of like that, yeah.
Okay.
I think Oladipo's going to be really good, though. Energy, the defense, he was probably the best defender in the Big Ten, and with Aaron Kraft there, that really says something. And he can score. He can shoot the ball. He can get into the lane. That one Michigan game, the game they played against Michigan early in the season, he had a couple dunks, one that almost went down that would have just blown the roof off the place. I mean, the way he threw that thing down, but it ended up rattling out, bouncing like 30 feet in the air. But he's got the kind of athleticism, the kind of skill that I think he's going to be an impact player on the next level.
He seems like the type of guy that could come in his rookie year, not be maybe a defensive stud, but at least be able to crack maybe even a starting lineup, even defensively. Well, who would you compare him with?
That's a good question. Maybe a smaller, less crazy Artest.
That's funny, because I thought the exact same thing, too. Does he have an outside shot?
Yeah, he's got an outside shot. I mean, he was hitting really well from the outside most of the year, and that's one of the things that Indiana did so well, was shoot the ball from the outside. But yeah, he can, I think at one point he was hitting over 40% of his threes, so he's got the range. And like I said, he can flash too. So I think he'll be a good player in the league, and I think he will make somebody very happy when they draft him early.
All right. And anybody else? Give me one more guy, maybe in the Big Ten, that you could see making a splash in the pros.
I would have said probably one of the Michigan State guys had they gone out. I do like both their games, Harris and Payne, and I'm certainly not very happy to see them coming back. Michigan State pretty formidable next year. I wonder about Deshaun Thomas out of Ohio State, who's a very talented scorer, and it was kind of a weird team to watch because for so much of the year it seemed like it was just him carrying the offensive load. They weren't getting much from anybody else. But I think he's a guy who's going to end up on somebody's rotation. He's going to get some minutes and could have a pretty good career as a small forward in the pros. I wonder about defense and kind of some of the other stuff about him, if he'll be able to do that. But I think scoring-wise, he's the kind of guy who can give you double-digit points tonight.
Right on. Well, hey, Zach, I want to thank you again for taking a few minutes and talking some college ball and draft stuff. And I'm excited for the guys that come back from Michigan. I'm going to follow that team again this year, again for Stauskas. Speaking of him, what are his chances of, what does he need to improve in order to be considered an NBA prospect?
I think another couple of years getting stronger. He's already got the skill that you need. He's got that one thing he can fall back on. He's just an excellent outside shooter. I think he surprised some people with the way he can put the ball on the floor, get to the basket. Kind of a running joke around Michigan message boards about the not just a shooter thing, where it seemed like every game he'd do something and the announcer would say, "Oh yeah, Nick Stauskas, it's not just a shooter." We'd all get a laugh out of that. But I think he's going to be an NBA player down the road. I know that almost certainly. I mean, kid shoots the ball too well. Got a pretty good handle. If he improves his defense, he gets stronger, shows some rebounding skills, and that's natural for a freshman not to excel at it. But
yeah,
I think if he does those things in the next couple of years, you'll see him go in the draft, probably late first rounder, mid second rounder or something, but I see him being a guy who's going to be on an NBA roster for quite a few years once he goes out.
Well, hey, listen, check out mazeandbrew.com, read Zach Travis's stuff. Where can we follow you on Twitter?
It's at Zach Travis. So, at Zach_Travis.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, thank you so much again for your time, and wish you the best in this upcoming season.
No problem. Thanks for having me on.
All right, again, I want to thank Zach Travis for coming on the show, educating us on Michigan ball, Big Ten ball, getting us ready for the 2013 NBA draft. I also want to thank my co-producer, if you will, Steve Stearns, for providing us with the music for this episode. Again, be sure to check out SonicsRising.com for daily updates regarding the ongoing saga with the King Sale, as well as NBA and Sonics forums. Listen, I'd love to hear from your comments about the show, especially if you're outside the Seattle area. Send me an email at themagiccarpetridepodcast@gmail.com. themagiccarpetridepodcast@gmail.com. And follow me on Twitter at MCRpodcast. And please, subscribe to us on iTunes. We're finally on iTunes. If you search Seattle Supersonics or Seattle Sonics, look for the Magic Carpet Ride Podcast. Well, Sonics fans, I'll see you again next time. Look for another episode educating you on the NBA 2013 draft. And listen, keep spreading the supersonic love.
Get on the magic carpet and ride.